Hiya, Karen.
Hiya, Maggie. How are you doing?
I'm sound, thanks, girl. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks.
Oh, thanks for coming on tonight. And I know that you're giving your Saturday night up, sitting watching that telly to have a juicy gabs with us.
Oh, no, I'd much rather be talking to you, believe me.
Oh, thanks, Karen. Let's remind our listeners that you did make a contribution a few weeks back when you told us all about near-death experiences. So, gang, this is Karen Easton. And tonight, Karen's going to tell us all about the Bermuda Triangle, isn't it, kid?
Yeah, it is.
It's like a huge lost property office in the sea.
It is. That's a brilliant way to describe it, actually, Margie. It is.
It's off its head, isn't it? What goes missing there?
Oh, I know. There's absolutely loads. I've been doing quite a lot of research into this, and there have been literally hundreds of vessels that have gone down over the years. Just to let your listeners know, I'll tell you a little bit about the Bermuda Triangle, where it is, so they can kind of picture
where
it.
Where you can locate it.
Yeah, it's actually an imaginary area off the southeastern Atlantic coast of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean imaginary as in not mappable?
It's imaginary insofar that the US Coast Guard won't recognise it.
Oh, well, there's loads they won't recognise, and we all know it's true.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, this is why they call it imaginary, because they reckon that it's just fictitious. They just say that they won't have it. But basically, the apexes of the triangle
are... That's the top point, the apex.
Yeah, that's right. You've got Bermuda... You've got Miami, this is obviously depending on which way you're looking at it on the globe. You've got Florida, San Juan, and Puerto Rico.
So it's quite a massive area there.
It is, yeah.
And bang in the middle is the sea.
That's right.
And lots of it.
And lots of it, that's right. Well, what I've done is I've actually compiled a few of the more renowned disappearances.
Yeah,
what's
on the top of the missing list?
Right, the most famous one, and the one I think that really got the association with the Bermuda Triangle, or Devil's Triangle as it's often called, is actually Flight 19. Now, this occurred in on December the 5th, 1949.
Yeah.
And this was where five US Navy torpedo bombers were having a routine training flight.
Which would have been after the war?
December the 5th, yes, I believe so.
It would have been after the war. So now they're doing a routine reconnaissance or whatever, training.
That's right, a routine training flight. And they left Fort Lauderdale at about 10 minutes past 2 in the afternoon. And they were under the training flight commander, Lieutenant Charles Taylor. Now, he was an experienced trainer, and he had 13 men that were within five torpedo bombers.
Yeah.
Now, what happened was, while they were all out on the flight, he started to report. There were a number of transmissions coming backwards and forwards throughout the flight, but then he started to report that his compasses weren't working, and all of a sudden he was lost.
Wow.
Yeah, just completely lost. And that was the last anybody ever heard from him. Now, that is strange in itself, but what was also strange was they sent out a couple of Martin Mariner search planes...
To have a look for it.
...to actually go out and look for this missing flight. And one of those themselves disappeared. So one of the search planes...
That went down the belly hole as well.
So that went right down the plug hole as well.
So people would be outrageously inquisitive as to what happened to a whole squadron.
A whole squadron, yeah.
And a rescue plane that went to look for it. You'd think they'd be very bothered indeed.
Yeah, that's right. Just to kind of vanish literally off the face of the earth like that. It was obviously...
It's mainly that, isn't it, that there's no trace. I mean, at least there was trace of the Marie Celeste. It was there, it was abandoned. Where did they all go?
Yes, the Marie Celeste. Now, that's a good one, Maggie, actually, because that is the one that people tend to confuse with the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
There was a Marie Celeste, I believe, went down there, but it's a slightly different spelling. It's M-A-R-I Celeste as opposed to the Marie Celeste.
There can't be any other ship's call, that, could they?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be under the arm and barley.
I know. Apparently there is, and the Marie Celeste that you referred to, which was where all of the crew went mysteriously missing, that was actually off the coast of Portugal. So that was slightly
different. So not in the waters that we're studying here, which is the Bermuda Triangle.
The Bermuda Triangle.
But
yes.
That phenomenon of no trace at all, nothing left rippling on the waves to bring back or give any evidence of what's happened to this squadron and lots of other things that have done a bunk.
Yes, that's right. We had another one, which was which is a famous case again associated with the Bermuda Triangle, and that was the USS Cyclops, and
what was that? What was the Cyclops? Was that a Navy ship?
That was a collier ship. So that was one that was used for transporting coal.
Oh right, that's Cyclops.
Yes, Cyclops. Yeah, yeah, the USS Cyclops. And that one had an unscheduled stop. This was in 1918. It had an unscheduled stop on March the 3rd and 4th, and it just literally disappeared without a trace. There was a lack of a distress call. There was absolutely.
They didn't put up any flares. There was nothing back on the radio.
There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. And this is what the people who come down on the sort of paranormal side.
Yeah,
of things,
people say, you know, mysterious supernatural qualities going on here.
Yeah, that's right. They tend to say, well, the fact that you know radio was around then or whatever, you know, there was the capability of putting out a distress signal.
Yeah, they had the tools to be able to communicate.
That's right. And the fact that nothing, you know, one minute it was there and then it just seemed to vanish into thin air. oh, I know, it's just really scary,
it's
isn't
going
it?
Going up and down my spine as we speak.
Yeah. But with the USS Cyclops as well, what's also interesting is that its sister ships later on in 1941, its sister ships, called the Proteus and the Nereus, they were following the same route that it did in 1918, and they went down as well.
Wow.
They just disappeared mysteriously.
In the same latitude and longitude.
Same sort of area, yeah. But because it was 1941, unfortunately, their disappearances were just completely overshadowed by the war, you see.
That's it. They would have thought, you know, enemy combat and could have took it out. When in fact it's part of this phenomenon of disappearance that goes, you know, on in the Bermuda Triangle.
In the Bermuda Triangle, yeah.
Could it be due to anything like magnetic fields?
Yeah, there has actually been some conjecture, if you like, about magnetic fields, but that's actually been refuted, saying that since the 19th century the magnetic fields have been absolutely fine. But I have come across literature that said that around that area, your compass doesn't point true north, or you know it points magnetic north.
Yeah, it's like a 20% that it can be out by.
That's right, about 20%. That's right. But depending on which literature you actually read, some people refute that and say, well, this isn't true, and some people actually do put it down as a viable explanation.
You wonder if. You know, we're coming to a pole shift quite soon anyway in 2012. And you wonder if that's going to affect things in, like the Bermuda Triangle. Will the pole shift affect that too? Will more shipping go missing?
This
or
is it
quite quiet now? Is it not as active as it used to be?
Well, I was having a bit of a dig around with this, and apparently there was a recent aircraft disappearance, which was the Piper PA-46310P, which went down on April the 10th, 2007, near the Berry Islands, and apparently that one's still under investigation.
Still mooching for that.
So things are still going on. Things are still going on.
Yeah, there's still activity there. And I picked up somewhere that it could be something to do with the Gulf Stream because it's a very rapid flow, the Gulf Stream.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, the seabed constantly moving and changing the topography of what's down below.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, what we've got, we seem to have two camps the people that want to go down the completely paranormal line. Mm-hmm. And then we have some more sort of down-to-earth explanations, the Gulf Stream being one of them.
A convergence of the two may be interesting.
Yes,
that,
yes.
There might be both things at play there. One, that phenomenon, and two, the scientific fact.
Yes.
And it can explain it then.
Yes. One that I particularly like is an explanation by a chap called Dr. Ben Clennell from Leeds University. And he suggested that possibly methane hydrates bubbling up from sea sediments could have something to do with the loss of ships.
So a great big belch coming up
from, yes, yeah.
Because, I thought it was a belly-ole.
Yeah, exactly. apparently. What it is, methane hydrate can actually reduce water density, and this could cause a ship to sink, because if you imagine the density of your water,
which is very heavy substance.
Yes, you know, you've got a big, huge ship there, and then the density of your water just decreases with the methane hydrate.
So down you go.
Down you go.
Yeah.
And you'd go down pretty quick as well, I should imagine.
Well, yes, when a ship goes down, it's that swell that swells around it.
It swells around it, absolutely.
My dad telling us stories about the Titanic and that, he said, you know, that's why the men had to jump off the ship from 40 foot up in the air. It must have been terrifying looking down at that, you know, cold, hard sea. Yeah. And yet if you didn't jump, didn't stand.
You'd be sucked. You'd be sucked under.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's incredible, isn't it? And amazing that, you know, we've sent men to the moon, supposedly, and we don't really, we haven't concentrated fully on mapping the Earth.
That's right.
And especially what's going on under the seas.
Yeah.
Could be fantastic cities. We may find Atlantis, who knows?
Yeah. In fact, indeed, I'm pleased you mentioned Atlantis.
Oh, go on, girl, get us going.
Because that is one of the more paranormal explanations. In fact, the psychic Edgar Cayce, who was born in 1877.
Yes, a very famous American psychic.
Yes, he was really into the kind of Atlantis thing, and he believed that there were fire crystals, which were a kind of leftover technology from this superior race, if you like.
Yes.
And he reckoned that these fire crystals are down there, located off the island of Bimini, which is where he suspected Atlantis may be, which is, of course, is all in that area. And some people have put forward the theory that these crystals, if you like, are sending out massive bursts of energy from
underneath.
Incredible. Yeah, and that are knocking out planes and, you know, sinking ships and everything.
Well, would you do us a big favour, Karen? Would you study it for us a little bit and bring it back to the audience, perhaps next week or the week after, about the Atlantis? Info, any material?
Yeah.
We'll bang into that. People really get excited on knowing about all the ancient wonders.
Yeah,
because it's
absolutely
dead relevant to today.
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, when you think about it, the Earth is millions and millions and millions of years old.
Yes.
And who's to actually say that there haven't been more advanced civilizations?
Of course.
I mean, one mystery that I can think of, certainly thinking along the lines of Atlantis, are the Ica stones. Now, the Ica stones depict very strange pictures of what seems to be modern technology, such as computers and telephones, against, you know, men with spears and, you know, and it's quite an anomaly.
It's a massive gap.
Yeah, and you think, and also you've got humans with dinosaurs as well on these Ica stones, and you're thinking, hang on a minute, you know, have we been here before? Have we destroyed ourselves? Was there actually, you know, much more superior intelligence?
Well, it moves us again into a time zone, doesn't it? Like that 26,000-year cycle.
Yes.
And when the Earth goes through a massive belch and resets all of its parameters again, refertilises all the sea and all the land.
Yes.
That's to come, but we don't know whether we're bang on the 26,000 year yet, so don't worry, gang.
Yeah, too right.
All's well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Karen, I just want to sing out your web address So our listeners, if you want to get a little bit more info off Karen,
yeah.
go and have a look at a site. It's brilliant. It's well worth a visit. It's Paranormality. So that's www.paranormality.com.
That's right, Paranormality. It's Paranormality is all one word. It's just basically paranormal with ITY stuck on the end of it. And what we offer there is just a flavour. It's an A to Z of everything and anything you like to look at.
It's fully cosmic.
Yeah, it is. That's the one.
I've had a marvellous time talking to you, Karen.
And you, Maggie.
Thanks for bringing that information to me and the listeners.
Yeah, no worries.
You're listening to City Talk 105.9.